can sit anyway. Today, less people. Most of them are away on holiday, I think, on leave. Sometimes less people better. No need to be so formal. Then you can discuss whatever you want. Okay, tonight we will do it maybe back to normal. We will follow the book. No more of the spiritual trip sharing and all this thing. Okay, so now we will do the puja. So let us get ready. Develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Yeah, today the date is it 13th? Or 12 only, huh? Yeah, 12 of September. Oh, 11 only, yeah. Huh? We are so fast ahead. Cannot be a Tuesday, 12 lah. That day 9 is what? 9 is Saturday. Oh, 9 is Sunday. Oh, on the 9, yeah. So, oh, today 9-1-1, huh? Okay. So, September 11th, 2018, we are having our Tuesday class, yeah. Yeah, very fast. Yeah, yeah, 17 years already. It's very fast. Okay, let us develop the sadha virya, the mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani Sawadaviramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majjhapamatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sarapa dithena dithena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena matena cha ho tu mokang Pupang milai yati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adivase tu no bante Paniyang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muthamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muthamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu muthamang. Now we are chanting the puja expression based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May these offerings of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transferring of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, 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 insieme. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the light. meditation. Then turn to page 6. We are chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atraha gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyapang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yugani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. Just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. Then after we will continue from where we stop. Chapter 20, The Working of Karma, page 360. You turn to page 360 of the book. After we will let PG come and lead the Dhamma discussion for this topic. So today's topic is better, The title is The Working of Karma. So for those who have some understanding, it will benefit you. So the working of karma is very important. When you understand how karma functions, then you can do something to it. If you don't understand its principle and how it functions and works, then it's not easy. Okay, we wait for PG.
Good evening, Bratio, Mr. Steele, and all calamitas. Today we'll continue with the working of karma, chapter 20. By karma is the world led. Atta Salani. The working of karma is an intricate law which only a Buddha can fully comprehend. To obtain a clear understanding of this difficult subject, it is necessary to acquaint oneself with the thought processes,
citta vitti,
according to the Abhidhamma,
the higher teaching.
Mind or consciousness, the essence of the so-called being, plays the most important part in the complex machinery of man. It is mind that either defiles or purifies one. Mind, in fact, is both the bitterest enemy and the greatest friend of oneself. When a person is fast asleep and is in a dreamless state, he experiences a kind of consciousness which is more or less passive than active. It is similar to the consciousness one experiences at the moment of conception and at the moment of death. Chuti chitta.
Death consciousness.
The Buddhist philosophical term for this type of consciousness is bhavanga, which means factor of life, or the indispensable cause or condition of existence.
Actually, there's another word they call it. The bhavanga is the life continuum. Life continuum means this is a consciousness that just flow. It just flow. Flow means it's like, you know, when energy flow or just water flow or whatever flow, it just flow, understand? Then this bhavanga is when you are unconscious. Like when you are in deep sleep. Then this life continuum, or what they call consciousness, that flow, if you are alive, you are not dead, even sleeping. Your senses are still active. You understand? Your five major physical senses plus the mind. So they are active. Active means they can be interacted. But when you are unconscious, it needs a sharp impingement. You know what is impingement? You see, from your senses, any of the senses, you need sense data. Take for example, hearing consciousness. When you are asleep, normally you are not conscious of anything. But when there is a loud sound, let's say, in the middle of the night, or people knock on your door, or there is an emergency, or very loud impinging sound, siren, and then this impinging sound will impinge on your eardrum. Then this mind, because it's so loud, it can cause the mind to be conscious of that sound. That's how the life continuum get disturbed. Yeah. So they call it the intruding consciousness. Means the life continuum get disturbed. Yeah. Then you give rise to consciousness. Yeah. So when consciousness arise, means you arise from the bhavanga consciousness. You understand? Can you follow? Huh? You don't understand? You don't even know how your mind functions when you're asleep. I maybe use the whiteboard, then at least you all can understand. Because we seldom talk about this part.
Pratyu, is bhavanga something like what we call a subconsciousness?
No. Bhavanga. This black one need to refill. I explain it then, hopefully, you all can understand. Bhavanga. 1G or 2G? Just 1G. 1G, Bhavanga. So we also call it the life continuum. Means it's a flow, understand not? It's just a flow. But you are unconscious, understand not? So this one is unconscious. So this one will flow. That's why you sleep very well, where there is no disturbance, understand? But when there is a subconscious arising, let's say you are dreaming, then from the unconscious, we call it the subconscious and unconscious release. Release means what? Your trapped fear, your trapped phobia and all those things, they need to release. So when they are released from your brain, it come out through the life continuum as the subconscious and the unconscious release. That's why you sometimes come out as dream state. Then this life continuum is not the normal thing already. It got activity already. Understand? That's why off and on you will have activity. Let's say there's a very sharp sense data impingement. Sense door impingement. Take for example, let's say sound. Which could be sound or vibration. So it impinge on your eardrum. Then it causes the hearing consciousness. So from here, the bhavanga, this mind starts to arise. Understand? Then the brain activity start to perceive and all those things. Then it is from the unconscious to the subconscious, then you become conscious. This like normal consciousness. You wake up. When you wake up, the normal consciousness is no more a bhavanga. Then it's the normal conscious mind with the consciousness. You understand? Yeah. So this bhavanga is just a life continuum or a flow, a continuous flow. Mind stream. We call it mind stream. Life continuum or or mind stream. Means it stream across. So this part you need to slowly understand. You have not meditated, you will not understand. But you have meditated, you will know. When you are aware as you go into the sleep, then when your body rests, when your mind go into the unconscious, you are still aware inside the bhavanga, the life stream thing. Well, this is the life force. The life force for the mundane mind. But before any sense or impingement, this one got nothing. Then if your brain is in order, you don't have fear, you don't have scars or memory, you have complete order, then your brain is different. It's not in disorder. So there is no such thing as a subconscious release or unconscious release. That's why you need to have dream to release all this trap, phobia, fear, the subconscious and unconscious fear, phobia, scars of memory, anxiety, whatever mind states that are very negative. It's like your childhood phobia or fear or something happened to you, very intense. So your brain actually accumulated it with a lot of fear, or they call intense phobia. And that's why this one keep on repeating, keep on triggering off the memory. So people cannot sleep and got nightmare is because of this. So this is the way to release the subconscious fear and the unconscious fear and phobia and all these things. So this life continuum, very few people understand. And if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you don't take care of karma, if you don't have a peaceful, good life, you will have a lot of problems. You will have a lot of subconscious and unconscious release, and you won't have good sleep. Then your physical body condition also affect you. Like when you are drunk and all those things, I tell you, it's miserable. Because when you are drunk, it not only the alcohol have an effect on you, it also numb you into the state of what they call, it's not that it make you unconscious, it make you lapse into the unconscious. Like your sensation, when your sensation is numb, means what? When they put the chloroform or ma pi yao, understand? Then you like want to knock off, understand? Numb. So alcohol has a similar effect. That's why those who drink a lot of alcohol, you realize there are a lot of moments that you lap into the unconscious one. Then the memory come back, or the conscious might try to come back. But most of the time, you lapse into the unconscious. That's why people who are drunk, they cannot drive. Very dangerous. We have that very split second or few seconds, if you lapse into the unconscious, accident can happen. A lot of things can happen. So when you take drug, when you hallucinate and all those things, it's the same. It's another form of effect on your brain. And our brain has this part which, when you numb it, especially those who know how to use the chloroform and all those things, they call anesthesia, depend on the dosage. So depend on the dosage, they can knock you off for how long they want to. That's why their dosage is very important, and different people different. But if you are not careful, you overdose, they can die. They never regain consciousness again. So a lot of complaints. That's why when you put chloroform, all those things, you simply, like those people who kidnap people, they want to put chloroform to knock you off. If you don't know the dosage, you can kill a person. Like the one happened at the dentist, because of the tolerance for that that local anesthesia, you know, he injected that local anesthesia, means a type of chloroform or the no one. He just inject inside. And he has very low, what they call, ability to withstand this type of anesthesia. And he can die on the dental chair, the dentist chair. But the doctor was discharged, the dentist. They couldn't charge him because he followed the guideline, understand not? He didn't overdosage. He followed the guideline. But it so happened, this person got such problem or what they call low tolerance of that thing. The other one is when you have this, what they call, when you are sensitive to certain type of drugs. Some baby, they cannot tolerate Panadol. No? They take Panadol. They call it what? There's a reaction or not? Not allergy, worse than allergy. Yes, penicillin also. Certain drugs, it is like total shock, it's very intense. Not only allergy, it's like the body react to it because it's not suitable. It's not suitable and can die on if you are not careful. So a lot of these things you have to understand. Different people got different limits of tolerance of certain drugs or certain type of anesthesia and all this. And all this affect your consciousness, your brain, your mind state. That's why Buddhism is not what you think. The Dhamma is not what you think. It's very profound. Yeah. You haven't developed the meditation and go in, you will never understand all this. Yeah. What the books say is different. A lot of area of the book, like the previous chapter I also pointed out, a lot of it is not correct. they don't have the understanding. So this one is one of the important understanding. Unless you meditate, you cannot understand this. Because in the early years, I remember, at first, I actually didn't read the Abhidhamma. I don't know what Abhidhamma is. I only heard of it, the higher teaching and all those things. Then I wait till I developed the understanding after 1989. Then somehow, there were conditions, and people passed me the book. Then I read the book. Very funny, you know. They told me it's a very difficult topic, you know, very tough topic, you know, and very dry one. It's very, very technical and hell lot of in-depth thing. Because if you don't have the understanding, you try to express it, it becomes worse. The word they use also wrong. So a lot of things in the Abhidhamma, the English translation is not correct, not so correct. Except for certain standard Pali words and all those things. But when it comes to this Bhavanga, you look at the book, how do they define it? They define it differently. The Buddhist philosophy term for this type of consciousness is Bhavanga, which means, you see, they use the word factor of life, though, or indispensable cause or condition or existence. Though. What can you understand from this description? Factor of life. You cannot understand here. But Bhavanga is not factor of life. Then they try to use the other word. Indispensable cause or cause or condition of existence. I tell you, you completely won't understand what they are trying to tell you. So what is they trying to tell you is there is this life continuum or life stream, or we call it the mind stream, that flow of consciousness. When there is no interruption, it's like the baby when they are just born. They are in the state of Bhavanga. Understand? But when they say when you die, you also go through Bhavanga, that is not true. When you die, it's different. Before you die, it's also different. Because karmic conditioning take over. So most people who don't have mindfulness, awareness and the Dhamma, they don't know how to die. And before they die, the karmic conditioning take over. That's why they become no longer themselves. Understand? Yeah. You know what is no longer themselves or not? We all Chinese culture, we always describe before a person die, what happened? Yeah? Lao huan xiao. You know what is that or not? Yeah? In Cantonese, what you call that? Lao huan xiao is called. Like you are not yourself already. You simply talk thing already. In Hokkien, that one is Hokkien. You not from Penang? You don't know Hokkien? Wow. Yun Chan, someone not around. Who knows the translation for Lao Huan Xiong in Cantonese? Means before a person die, he become like not his normal character or self. Like he has become another person, simply say thing. Actually, it's karmic conditioning. Sometimes they like hallucinate. Like last time, I remember what happened to the Auntie Tan, our Dana Queen. She just passed away, I think, last year or so. She was at the hospital, so people were doing the Bohi Puja for her. But before that, before the Bohi Puja, because she Dana Queen, she go everywhere, Katina and all, and she got her. So the subconscious take over. The karmic conditioning take over. And in the hospital, he was talking about going here, Katina, going there, Katina, seeing all those things. But she was not in the conscious state, you know. She like a person hallucinating, seeing all those things. Now, this is the what they call karmic conditioning. So karma take over. So like the Buddha say, the strongest karmic conditioning will take over and decide what type of birth you will take. So for this type of good karmic conditioning consciousness, you will have good birth because there is joy. And these are normally the frequently or often the thing that you often do when you are alive, understand? Where you put in a lot of passion, a lot of interest and all those things. Then sometimes when your occupation is not right, you do a lot of killing, the thing that you, then you always hear the crying of all this, whether chicken or whatever you kill, understand? So the karmic conditioning, when it come, this karmic conditioning that take over as the subconscious or the what they call karmic conditioning mind, they will cry like the animal they are killing, the howling and all those things. That's why you don't play a fool with karma. And that one you know already what type of birth you take. You will take that type of birth that end up you will be slaughtered back by people. Because that is what you did to people. And depend on how much suffering you inflict on those life form. Sometimes you have compassion, like certain type of religion, they ask for forgiveness, or they say a prayer before they do all those things. So karmically is less. But those who are very cruel, very evil, they just kill and they just murder and through violence, or the karmic is very severe. So these are the things that happen during death. That's why what is written here is not correct. At birth is correct. Bawanga, when you are born into this world, you don't know anything. Your memory are not there. There's no thought, nothing. So most of the time is bawanga. Understand? Then your senses start to develop. Then you start to receive impingement, but you don't know how to think. Understand? So straight away fall back to bawanga again. But for human being who has develop the memory and all the things, the fear, the phobia. Then this bawanga, the moment there is impingement, then it will trigger off. Then after that, you become conscious. Then you will do a lot of those mental activity things. we read on, eh? Then you will have better understanding. Okay, PG, continue. Yeah, impingement. Is the spelling wrong? No R. Impingement. No R. Not R. Yeah? Sure. Huh? Oh, you just check. Thank you. So impingement. So it's not impingement. Impingement. Yeah. So just PI. Okay. Thank you. Impingement. Okay.
So we continue. Arising and perishing every moment, it flows like a stream, not remaining the same for two consecutive moments. We do experience this type of consciousness not only in a dreamless state, but also in our waking state. In the course of our life, we experience bhavanga thought moments more than any other type of consciousness. Thus, bhavanga becomes an indispensable condition of life. Some scholars identify bhavanga with subconsciousness. According to the Dictionary of Philosophy, subconsciousness is a compartment of the mind alleged by certain psychologists and philosophers to exist below the threshold of consciousness.
Yeah, it's below the threshold of consciousness. It means before you become conscious, anasana. Yeah. Like when you are in the dream state, that is your subconscious mind. Yeah. That's why you wake up, immediately you have the memory, you can recall. But this type of memory, because you are not conscious, very fast you forget on. You understand? Because when it happens, you are not conscious at all, you are in the subconscious state. But because it happened, that's why there is this ability of mind to recollect through an awareness. Yeah. But that one, most people cannot do, and they can only recall through memory. Memory. So memory is not awareness. Memory is you remember where it happened just now. Then most of the time, the next moment, you cannot remember it. So all your dream, if you don't believe me, you go and try to recall. Immediately when you wake up, yes. That few minutes, you can recall. But if you are aware, even after a few hours, you will still know what that thing is. You are in the state of awareness, that's why you can recollect. But when you are in the subconscious or the unconscious, chances is you cannot recall anything. Even when you can recall, it's the immediate, when you wake up, that few minutes. Then what they call... when you are in the state of bhavanga, the unconscious, especially when you are numb off by the anesthesia. How many of you have gone through full anesthesia during operation? Ah, good. I ask you one question. When you wake up, do you recall anything? Completely zero, I tell you. Not even the subconscious, because it makes you completely unconscious. That thing numb off the part of the brain that can make you conscious of things. That one is totally knocked off. That's why you got no record of what happened. You don't even got any feeling that you slept. It's just that period completely like don't exist to you. Understand? Completely, you cannot recall anything, because that moment, those moments when they knock you off, because of the strength of this, what they call anesthesia, you enter deep state of unconscious. So during that time, you can't even have any impingement or memory or anything. Of course, no pain, because you are not conscious. How can you experience pain? Ni zi tao ah? Means you maintain your awareness ah. 那个是还 before you knock off. You already knock off already. Oh, means the anesthesia. No, the anesthesia did knock you off completely. The other possibility is you try to maintain awareness. For me, I say forget about it, because I was fully aware when the anesthesia talked to me. He said, okay. He said, your name? Then I told him my name. And I said, okay, Mr. Teo, I'm going to apply the anesthesia. He said, very fast. He said, I count up to 10. So initially, I was maintaining awareness. No? Then I decide not to. Might as well let it happen during the unconscious. So the moment I release the awareness, I straight away knock off. Straight away, it go into the unconscious. Then, after 4 hours, I remember, I came out of it. I cannot recall anything. But I have this operation for my buttock, 1996. I got this fistula thing. So that one, the surgeon was very good. He said, you got 3. I need longer time to do it. So he was able to take out all. He said the time was very, very exact. Whatever he wants the anesthesia to do, the anesthesia was able to do. Well, my anesthesia was very, very famous. He's a very good anesthesia. And he did it so fast. The dosage, everything. So a lot of things, when you have the understanding, you don't try to be a hero. No point. Because when they are doing the operation, you are still conscious, then you have to be careful. But the second operation that I went through, which is the angioplasty, instead of 1 hour plus, it extended to 2 hour plus. That one, there is no anesthesia at all. They only have a local anesthesia at the point near my hand there when they prick a hole into my hand. Then they insert the wire. That 2 hours, I tell you, I was fully aware and fully conscious. But it was okay because I understand what is going on. I can feel all those things. The wire going in and how they put on the ballooning, the pressure and all that. Then after 2 hours, the doctor asked me, are you okay? I say, mentally I'm okay, but my physical energy, no more. He said, I told him, physically not okay. He said, he said, okay. He said, very fast, very fast. Although very fast, another half an hour. But because I was fully aware, then they do it under conscious. You just imagine the doctor do all this thing in front of you and you are conscious now, putting the wire through you, and I got 3 of this, what they call stand inside me, you know. And every of this stand, they do the ballooning and all those things. And they put in chemical, you know. They monitor everything. The computer has. Then he somehow showed me the computer. He said, yeah, yeah. He said, you can see. He said, then he said, yeah, exactly like what the earlier test. He said, everything was 99% match. Well, I did a non-invasive, what they call angioplasty. Oh, sorry, angiogram. The non-invasive one turned out to be almost exact match, 99% accuracy. So when he started the actual formal angioplasty instead of angiogram, it straight away mapped on the computer. And the doctor said, yes, exactly. So no problem. He said, I will start doing it for you. That 2 hours. I tell you, 2 hours, you don't have the endurance and the understanding. It's not easy to endure inside there. Most people would prefer anesthesia knockoff. But this one, they can't knock you off. Why? Because the wire, if it's not properly administered, if it puncture your artery, there can be complication, understand? No? So if you are conscious, you can tell them, understand? No? And you can give them your feedback. Oh, I tell you, the moment you give that type of feedback means they have to call emergency. They always say there is this standby open heart surgery because complication. So they need to do an open heart to actually fix it. The danger is the puncturing. That's why they got two types, hard wire and soft wire. And my dad doctor specializes in soft wire. It's safer. Hard wire, you are not careful, it can puncture you very fast. But soft wire, the disadvantage is certain type of blockage, plug, not easy to break through because soft wire, too soft. But this doctor very good, he specialized, so he know how to feel his way through. Then before he do the surgery, where he's a Buddhist, he will chant the what they call the Pali, Satta Bhujanga, and there was another chanting, I forgot already, where in Sri Lanka it's very common, when people die, they chant on that thing, means for you to recover from your sickness. So during the Buddha's time, when the disciple is sick, they will ask other disciple to go and chant this Satta Bhujanga, the factors of enlightenment. Because when they hear the factor of enlightenment, the enlightened being, the Arahant and all, say, they will recall all those factors of enlightenment, and there's joy. And because of the joy, the mind becomes different. Then they feel better. But it's not a permanent fix. But it does help for a while. But since they are Arahant, they are not affected. Yeah, they won't react or suffer. But if you chant, they will feel better. It's just like we all, when we are sick or one, then you listen to Dhamma, you are less sick. Then when you hear Dhamma, when you have problem or when you are down, you also become different, especially chanting and all those things that you have faith in. But if you really have the Dhamma, you already have the awakening and the thing, you don't need all these things. You can, on your own, silent, understand. Then you still need to recollect, you just recite them. Or you just on the whatever chanting and all those things. But I don't find it necessary. For me, the understanding is enough. I just relax, silent, and allow things to be. Let things be. No need to do anything here. There, the mind state is based on your understanding, your wisdom. So nothing to worry. Okay? You continue, PJ.
In the opinion of Western philosophers, subconsciousness and consciousness coexist. But according to Buddhist philosophy, no two types of consciousness coexist. Okay, the explanation is, according to Buddhist philosophy, there is no moment when we are not ordinarily experience a particular kind of consciousness hanging on to some object, whether physical or mental. The time limit for such a consciousness is termed as one thought moment. Each thought moment is followed by another. The rapidity of the successions of such thought moments is hardly conceivable by the can of human knowledge. It pleases the commentators to say that during the time occupied by the flash of lightning, billions and billions of thought moments may arise. Nor is Bhavanga a subplane. It does not correspond to F.W. Meyer's subliminal consciousness either. There does not seem to be any place for Bhavanga in Western philosophy. Perhaps we may be using these philosophical terms with different meanings. Bhavanga is so called because it is an essential condition for continued existence. life continuum has been suggested as the closest.
See, now he Buddhist used this word, life continuum.
For Bhavanga. I think that's what it means. This Bhavanga consciousness, which one always experiences as long as it is uninterrupted by external stimuli.
He called it external stimuli. I call it the impingement.
Vibrates.
They call it the vibrating Bhavanga. It causes the life continuum consciousness to vibrate because of your organ. The sense data imprints your organ. So it like trigger off, like the blue line I draw, it imprints. That is, it stimulate it, understand? They call it stimuli. You can use that word also. Yeah, continue.
Okay, I read again. This Bhavanga consciousness, which one always experiences as long as it is uninterrupted by external stimuli, vibrates for a thought moment and passes away when a physical or mental object enters the mind. Suppose, for instance, the object presented is a physical form. Now, when the Bhavanga stream of consciousness is arrested, sense door consciousness, Panchavara Vajana, whose function is to turn the consciousness towards the object, arises and passes away. Immediately after this, there arises visual consciousness, Chakuvinyana, which sees the object, but yet knows no more about it. This sense operation is followed by a moment of the reception of the object, so seen. Sampati Chana. Next arises the investigating thought moment, Santirana, which momentarily examines the object so seen. This is followed by the determining thought moment, Votapana, when discrimination is exercised and free will may play its part.
This is what Chitena is all about, mental intention, where you introduce your mental intention. That's why they call it discriminative. Means you develop the discrimination, your like and dislike, your duality and all those things.
On this depends the subsequent psychological important state.
They call it Javana. The seven Javana means seven determining thought moment.
It is at this stage that an action is judged, whether it is moral or immoral. Karma is performed at this stage. If viewed rightly, yoniso manasikara
means
it
with
becomes
wisdom.
Moral.
With wisdom. Yoniso manasikara.
If wrongly,
Yoniso
manasikara, immoral, irrespective of desirability or undesirability of the object presented to the mind, it is possible for one to make the javana process moral or immoral. If, for instance, one meets an enemy, anger may arise automatically. A wise person might, on the contrary, with self-control, radiate a thought of love towards him. This is the reason why the Buddha states, by self is evil done, by self is one defiled. By self is no evil done, by self is one purified. Both defilement and purity depends on oneself. No one is purified by another.
So here the explanation is not so clear. You remember what I told you or not? It's nothing to do with the thought, understand? It is the user of thought. That's why the user is the former mind. The former mind is subject to karma. So if the user have wisdom, they call it yoniso manasikara. Means manasikara is attention. At the moment of sense experience, upon contact, the attention at that moment, if there is wisdom, then feeling will remain as pure feeling. You will not be deluded by what that consciousness is and what that perception is. So wisdom at the moment of sense experience is very important. That's why wisdom you cannot learn. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. So there is no two way about it. When you understand, you know how to deal. When you don't understand, it become negative. It become a problem karmically. That's why here they just quote what the Buddha say, by self is evil done. But he teach non-self. Then how can it by self is evil done? It is the mental intention, understand? The user of thought. When consciousness arises, when you input the content that form a mind with deluded view, without wisdom, delusion or avijja, or self-delusion, then you will introduce the wrong content. The evil roots will be there. That's how they create negativity of karma. So this one is very, very clear when you understand. So it's not about a person doing it, it's the mental intention. Without wisdom, the form of mind, that's why they are just the way they are. Then Huining, the Mahayana teaching, is more deep, more profound. That's why he said our self nature is already complete by itself. That's why Huining told the fifth patriarch after he had developed the understanding and the full awakening. He said, how amazing that all Dhamma arise from that self nature. Means, from that self nature, the mundane mind come to be. And this mundane mind is the source of all things. That's why the Buddha say, it's the forerunner of all things. So, mind is chief. And mind is the forerunner of all things. Where mind arise, everything arise. That's why all duality, all good and bad, they arise when the mundane mind arise, depending on the former mind's wisdom or delusion. So this is also very useful. So whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, it all arises from the mind. That's the reason why we have to take care of mind. When you take care of mind, you take care of karma. That's why we are all born of our karma, add to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this part, just make note, easier for you to understand. Okay, continue.
It is an admitted fact that environment, circumstances, habitual tendencies, and the like condition our thoughts. On such occasions, free will is subordinated. There exists, however, the possibility for us to overcome these external forces and produce moral and immoral thoughts, exercising our own free will. An extraneous element may be a causative factor, but we ourselves are directly responsible for the actions that finally follow. It is extremely difficult to suggest a suitable rendering for Javana. Apperception is suggested by some. Impulse is suggested as an alternative rendering, which seems to be less satisfactory than apperception. Here, the Pali term is retained. Javana literally means running. It is so called because in the course of a thought process, it runs subsequently for seven thought moments.
Consequently
for seven thought moments, or at times of death for five thought moments with an identical object. The mental states occurring in these thought moments are similar, but the potential force differs. This entire thought processes which take place in an
infinitesimal part of time
ends with the registering consciousness tadalambana lasting for two thoughts moments. Thus one thought process is completed at the expiration of 7 thought moments.
17.
17 thought moments. Yeah. Okay. Books cite the simile of the mango tree to illustrate this thought process. A man fast asleep is lying at the foot of a mango tree with his head covered. A wind stirs the branches and a fruit falls beside the head of the sleeping man. He removes his head covering and turns towards the object. He sees it and then picks it up. He examines it and ascertains that it is a ripe mango fruit. He eats it and, swallowing the remnants with saliva, once again resigns himself to sleep. The dreamless sleep corresponds to the unperturbed current of Bhavanga. The striking of the wind against the tree corresponds to past Bhavanga. And the swing of the branches to vibrating Bhavanga. The falling of the fruit represents the arrest Bhavanga. Turning towards the object corresponds to sense door adverting consciousness. Sight of the object to perception. Picking up to receiving consciousness. Examination to investigating consciousness. Ascertaining that it is a ripe mango fruit to determining consciousness. The actual eating resemble the bhavana process and the swallowing of
javana
process, and the swallowing of the muscles corresponds to retention. His resigning to sleep resembles the subsidence of the mind into bhavanga again. Of the 7 thought moments as stated above, the effect of the first thought moment, the weakest in potentiality, one may reap.
You remember last time I told you the word karmic potential? When you arise a karmic process or karmic negativity, or whether moral or immoral, when something is been done through mental intention, so that is the cause. But it does not immediately create the effect, because karmic potential is there, but it may not have the condition for it to arise. So it will just arise and pass away. Yeah. So it's a thought with mental intention involved. So that itself has its karmic potential. But it does not immediately condition the effect. Understand not? That thought may condition the next thought, but it may not be the vipaka or friction of it. So I call it the karmic potential. So here they also use the same word. The first thought moment is the weakest in potentiality. That's why they say one may reap in this life itself, but they didn't explain only when there is condition for it to arise. If there is no condition, it got no more effect on that form of mind. Understand not? Although it's coming, but the potentiality is because it's in the first javana. If this life no condition, it does not arise. You understand? Okay, next one.
This is called immediately effective. Ditadamma vidaniya kama. If it does not operate in this life, it becomes ineffective, ahosi. The second weakest is the 7th thought moment. Its effect one may reap in the subsequent birth. Hence it is termed subsequently effective, upapa javi daniya kama, which too automatically becomes ineffective if it does not operate in the second birth. The effect of the immediate thought moments may take place in any time, at any time in the course of one's wandering in samsara until the final emancipation. This type of karma is termed indefinitely effective.
Yeah, because it will be there, the potential will be there. Yeah. until finally that form of mind or that karmic nature, one of the life, realize itself and cease, means become arahant or beyond. Okay, continue. Yeah.
Okay, that is indefinitely effective. The karma is considered as apara pariya vidaniya.
Okay, wow, after never mind, the Pali term you can ignore first. After that, you turn back one page. Yeah? There is a diagram. That chart for you to see the 17 thought moment. But this 17 thought moment is not like what they describe under the example, the mango. If one thought moment takes so long, then that is not the real thought moment that the Buddha talked about. You remember earlier on? He said within a flash of a lightning, how many thought moments or consciousness or thought process? Billions can arise. So how can that whole process that takes so many seconds be one thought moment? Cannot be. Yeah. It's only they try to like give you example of specific things for happening. But when you have mindfulness, awareness, you will understand this 17 thought moment and it happened very fast. Sometimes it's not complete. Not like dependent origination, it's multidimensional. It's not always like that. Sometimes the impingement, the what they call from bhavanga, it gets external stimuli or sense data impingement through the sense organ. Then it vibrates, then it falls back and become quiet again. Understand now? It doesn't create further thought process. Where you are in a sleeping state or bhavanga. Then sometimes the subconscious release, then that whole thought process become different again. Then sometimes in the dream, because it's subconscious, it's not strong. So sometimes like your dreams, when you wake up, you recall, it's like bits and pieces here and there, understand? It breaks. Then it's like not the same as when you are in the conscious situation on this earth living. When you are conscious, you can be heedless or whatever. But at least the conscious mind is creating a lot of things and you can follow the whole process. Like there is continuity, understand? But when you are dreaming or what, it's like haphazard one. Suddenly from here, you go to somewhere else one, or another type of episode one. Totally no link at all. One, because you are not in a conscious state. And this conscious release, they just release. There's like bits and pieces come out. Then sometimes if you have a certain type of attachment or what, so that type of thing keep on coming out, keep on arising. That's why some people continuously have that similar type of dreams and all those things. So this 17 top moment, the chart on page 365, you can develop better understanding. So past bhavanga, the first one, means before the impingement. Then the next one, when the impingement happened, it's called the vibrating bhavanga. It starts to vibrate. Where it imprints onto the life continuum. So we call it the chaluna, bhavana chaluna. Then the third one, according to them, you have to arrest it. So they call it the arrest bhavanga. Means you got to allow your mind to go there. Because it can be any of the senses, understand? So like it's hearing consciousness that create the stimuli or the impingement, then you have to arrest it by arising your mind's attention there. So when you put your mind's attention there, they call it the bhavanga upacheda, arresting bhavanga. Then only sense door consciousness, then only you become conscious. So when you put your mind there, means you allow contact there. Understand? Huh? Like the physics experiment, contact. That's why upon contact, the light bulb light up. Means you become conscious. So this is sense door consciousness arising. Yeah. Then the next one is pancha vijnana, means the five aggregate arise. Means you input the content of consciousness. That's why this is called sense consciousness with its content. Yeah. So it's called pancha vijnana. Then the sixth one is, they call it receiving consciousness. So this consciousness, once you receive it, the mind, through its memory and conditioning, views and opinion, will start to investigate. It's actually not investigate. It try to perceive, understand not? It try to perceive through memory, through whatever accumulated views, opinion, conditioning and memory. So through your conditioning, then this Santirama Bhavanga will arise. And they call it investigative. It's actually not investigative. It's just perceiving, trying to understand what it is. That's why if it's something new, that they haven't have a memory or a conditioning, or they haven't learned, they got no words. Understand? They don't know what that thing is. So sometimes fear of the unknown, they develop fear at that moment. So Javana, or the seven determining thought moment, if you have fear, fear is one that can appear too. Because fear of the unknown, you don't have record. So there is fear, there is anxiety, or there is this aversion, dislike, envy, jealousy, or craving, lust, and all those things. Or attachment. So the seven thought moment, or they call it determining thought moment, Javana, they can happen at any of the seven. Then the next one, after investigating, is eight. The number eight thought moment is determining consciousness, means they say after you investigate, you decide, determine what that thing is. But it's not like that actually. Actually, it's a perception. Then you check with memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. Then you perceive it. Perceive it. Means you come to know what it is. Then after that, the Javana, 9 to 15. Then 16 and 17 is the registering consciousness. Means after the mental intention go in, you start to register them. So that is how the 17 thought moment comes about. Okay? Any question? Any question? PG, lend her the mic.
Hello, Bertio. 我想问是这个有 17 的，跟我们所学的那个 eight type of consciousness 有什么？哦，不一样，不一样。
The eight type of consciousness is different. That one is like moral, immoral, mundane, supramundane. That one is different. This one is thought moment. Understand? This one is one thought process. You can break into 17 thought moments. Means there are a lot of very fast things happening inside there. But like the 12 link dependent origination, it's not single dimensional. It's multidimensional. Then sometimes it doesn't happen. Like I say, the vibrating bhavanga, or the imprinting that time, it just happened, then it dropped back to bhavanga. Like somebody shout at you when you are sleeping. Initially, they call you softly. You don't hear. Then suddenly, louder. You hear, then unconscious again. Then they shout louder. You hear, then unconscious again. Then when they shout very loud, then suddenly you like wake up. Then only you find out what happened. You call me? Anything? Because the brain will try to interpret what that sound is. Sometimes like siren emergency, or people shout out of fear or what. So you will register. But when you come out of the sleep, it's the unconscious going to the conscious. So that one is very different from the conscious moment when you are living life consciously. That thought moment is different again. When you are in the unconscious and the subconscious, then you wake up, it's different again. So all this, when you meditate, you understand. You don't meditate, it's not easy for you to understand. Because this involves the mind moments, which are so fast. If you are not aware, not mindful inside, you cannot pick it up. These are all very theoretical. But when you understand, you understand it differently. Then through your senses, different. Smell consciousness, taste consciousness, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and tactile are all different. Then even the thought consciousness are all very different. So at the moment, you just learn about it. Learn about it. Because it's just like a theory from the text, Abhidhamma. That's why Buddhist philosophy or understanding of the mind is very deep. The Western education, they are actually no match for our Buddhist teaching, because they only thought about the psychological part and the psychological memory and all those things. So most of these are involving thought. They don't even know there is a bhavanga. Then they don't even understand that there is another nature inside that is just aware. Then the true mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, conditioned mind, all this they never learn. They never learn. Then how we function as a human being. They are very good in all the organ, senses, the nerve and all those things, the various parts of the brain, they can map it out and all those things. Where they got computer that register their response. So through all this, they map it out. Then they start to, like, initially, hypothesis. They think this part is responsible for this. This part is responsible for that, especially the brain there. Then they start to develop it, evolve it until it become theory and all those things. Because they subject it to tests, like the nerve and all those things. The nerve are mainly in the upper part near the skin level there. Understand? That's why beyond the skin, you don't feel anything. Unless it's severe tumor and all those things, then it push against the tissue and all those things. Then it touch the nerve. Understand? So nerve is only located at certain layer of your what they call anatomy. You will start to understand. When you're silent, you can feel every part inside your brain. That one is through awareness. It's not through the nerve. Understand? Not? You understand? You understand the difference? Not? Through your nerve, it will stimulate. Because you understand how your body has this defense mechanism or not. The nerve is actually to protect you, understand not? Telling your body that there is problem there, understand not? There is damage. That's why it makes you feel the pain and all those things, all the itchiness and all those things. Then when there is allergy or what, I mean something not right already, then the body, through its own inbuilt defense system, will try to deal with it, understand? But if it cannot deal with it, that's why you need surgery, you need external medication. Then you need the mind that has the understanding to deal with it. Otherwise, it will trigger intense pain. Then you react to it and become miserable, understand? But when you can understand body is just a body, mind is mind, the two are separate, then you can endure. Because this body with the consciousness trapped inside, you got two choices, understand? when something happens, let's say chronic disease or whatever, then the nerve trigger off. You can react to it and become miserable. That is one way. Because this is nature, understand that? Body goes the way of nature. When there is disease, when there is problem, the nerve will be triggered. Then you will sense it. You will feel that whatever negativity of consciousness. But if you have the wisdom, because body is just a body, understand? So when your body is sick, don't make your mind sick also, understand? That's why you endure. You need to endure. You endure. Then you need to seek medical attention. You seek medical attention. Do what that is necessary and just do. And with the understanding, if you take care of karma, you don't worry. That's why you can invoke power of merits. You can invoke good mind state to help you recover. Because your mind plays an important role on your physical well-being. You have good mind, good understanding, you have love, you have compassion, you have kindness, goodness, calmness, stillness, awareness. Your mind state is so beautiful, and you can tolerate many things, you can endure many things. But it is the defense mechanism of the body to trigger off like a warning to you, understand? So that you know how to seek treatment or help. So a lot of things you can learn. Because when you are mindful and aware, you can feel inside. And you can know what is happening. Then even when I eat something, I remember I tell you, like curry or whatever, or sometimes sour thing or sweet thing or whatever, which part of the brain activated trigger or I know. I can feel it. So it is pretty phenomenal. Then what they don't understand is awareness. The awareness is not the ordinary thinking mind. That is from your nature. The essence of mind that is capable of being aware. And this awareness can go in and feel everything. It don't need the nerve. You only need blood. Understand? Wherever the blood can reach, your awareness can reach. That's why they always say, what they call it? When you do a, what they call, heart transplant, what happens? Yeah? Because they say your heart, Mandarin, the mind, is called Sing, isn't it? Sing is also like your heart, isn't it? So, where is actually mind? Consciousness. It's not just the heart. The heart is the seat of consciousness, understand? It's where the life force comes, it resides. Well, this is the gateway. From there, the powers of life start, understand? But because it beat, then there is blood. So all our blood carry our consciousness, understand? So this consciousness is being distributed to the whole body. That's why the cells are nourished because of the blood, the oxygen and other things. So when they are nourished, if you have good mind, good consciousness, your cell will be healthy, understand? That's why when you have fear, worry, anxiety, a lot of sadness, sorrow, lamentation, depression, your negativity of consciousness is so negative, it causes your cell to mutate. That's why you will have problem. You will develop sickness and other things. And your immune system will go down. You understand? That's why it's all linked. Your consciousness, the power of life, when it comes, where the blood is being pumped by this one. So first, it goes into your blood. So your blood can actually give rise to awareness, consciousness. Then when you have good mind state, good understanding, your cells are all properly nourished. That's why you must have all the essential understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma. And these are not taught by people who claim to be knowledgeable in the Dhamma. Because the Dhamma actually teaches a lot of things which is not in the book. Because all this that I share with you, today especially, they are not in the book. Yeah. But you have to find out yourself. When you meditate, you will understand all this. Yeah. And that is the marvel of the Dhamma, the Buddha's teaching. Yeah. So psychology, even they call it what? There's another field. There is a field of teaching. There is psychology one part, the other one is what? Teach mad people. Psychiatrists. So they got psychology and what? The other one that teach mad people one is called. What is the field? Psychiatry study what? Psychiatric. No. Psychology and psychiatry are different. The two are different. They do more counseling and all those things. They treat you based on they call it a few techniques. They got this what they call homo imbalance. When you got intense phobia, fear, then they realize you trigger off due to certain type of hormone, understand not? Like sometimes adrenaline and all those things. When you are in a state of fear and all those things, adrenaline will come out and make you very powerful. So this type of hormone release, when they come out, now the doctor, especially psychiatrists, they know. So they say, okay, they let you calm down because you have a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension, a lot of negative thought. That's what depressed people are. They got a lot of panic attack and all those things, phobia. So what they tell you is, don't worry. I will give you something so that you can sleep better. And what is that? Tranquilizer. That make you knock you off. Instead of using antibiotic, they use tranquilizer. So why did they use antibiotic? Antibiotic is for you to resist whatever, to fight. So most antibiotic is what? Actually, it's not really antibiotic. It's just to knock you off. That's why after you take, you feel sleepy. Correct not? Correct not? When you take antibiotic, most of them make you sleepy, sleep very long. That is the time your body heal, understand not? You know how you heal or not? When your brain don't create that type of thought, they call it the negative thought, that make you worry, fear, and miserable, then that mind become very quiet, very still, silent. During that time, it's like you are in deep sleep, understand not? Then what happened? The body heal itself. Like at night you sleep, deep sleep, the body regenerate, heal itself. Actually, we have this self-healing. That's why for me, flu or whatever that affect me, you look at me like I should knock out already. After I sleep, I rest one day, I will recover. Why? Because I know how to rest. Last time I rest 10 minutes, I recover already. Then later on, it extend to half an hour, then 1 hour, 2 hours. Now, so many years already, almost nothing to do with aging. You don't understand. It's just like, I give you an example, you will know. It's just like you are initially very young, maybe poor, you cannot afford. So you don't take supplement, you don't take vitamins, like that. You don't go and take the poyok. Poyok means what? Nourish your health. The Chinese herb or whatever. Because you don't have. So you just go through life the tough way. Then suddenly, you become more affluent. Or somebody introduced to you and you can afford. Then you start to take the poyok. I tell you, immediately you see the effect on. You recover. But let's say you have been on it for 3 years. After that, the poyok will not no more effect. You understand? No, because whatever you lack, you already have. So like this pure energy that is inside my body, my nature, where I know how to rest, I know how to go to the gateway, and the pure energy heal me. It's just like the poyok anasana. It has been with me for so long already. After that, I still get sick. Means the poyok is not effective anymore. Anasana. So you have to understand, it's not because I age. Anasana. It's because this thing that I have initially after I meditate and develop this understanding, the pure energy, I like a perfect human being. No? I used to tell you, like everything is perfect in me. No? It's like a car, tune until no sound, no? The engine, no sound, perfect, very efficient. No? Like everything is so healthy inside there, like you got no problem at all. But then this one cannot last you very long, no? Like poyok like that. Oh, after a while, you are still fall sick with this, means I have to go and see doctor, I have to go and see doctor. That's why there are certain things that I know this pure energy cannot do anything. One of them is what? Cough. Now I take precaution. Once I see the sign, I don't let it happen. Otherwise, long time to recover. Because pure energy cannot help on that one. Huh. Then certain things also cannot. Then last time, I don't know, I used to fall when I was young, my back here, very severe fall. I kena banana skin when I was young, I think, don't know, 7, 8 years old. I fell on my back. I think the sacral bone smashed. I didn't know until later on when I grew up. Then one massager told me, he said, "What happened to your back?" He said, "Your alignment, everything is gone, and your sacral bone all smashed. You're not supposed to be walking." But something happened because Kuan Yin's nature came. Then later on, she saw that thing at the back here. Then she dare not tell me. Then he asked for permission. He said, "I saw something. Can I reveal?" I say, "You can see, means you got affinity." He said, "Do you know you have something at the back that protected you?" The moment he say that, I know. I say, "I know." Then he somehow tell me, came from Kuan Yin. I say, "I know. It's the 10 Buddha of the 10 direction." He say, "Got one very strong one, big one down there." I also don't know what that thing is. I went with my wife for massage. Then towards the end, he asked me. Then only I told her, I said, "Yeah." I said, "You have affinity, that's why you can see." Where this lady got psychic on. He's trained to heal people and all that. Then he can see. You out of alignment also, she know. That's why there are a lot of this type of weird people around. So, yes, not really. Not really gifted, it's something that they want to do on the sana. And this lady, she was requested by the master to follow the master to learn this art, otherwise it go missing. And the condition is the sifu will only help the mother heal, but on condition she become the disciple and learn from him. That's how it happened. And because of that, he has this gifted ability to sense and see. So a lot of things. So in this spiritual world, you don't use your limited scientific knowledge or understanding to try to judge a person. You can never know who that person is. Because the human rhyme is a very special rhyme, very strange. Not easy for people to understand. Yeah, in the spiritual world, you will encounter a lot of spiritual things. That are, you call it weird. It's not weird, actually. It's quite normal, quite common. But if you are not in this spiritual field, you cannot meet. They say, you can't even meet any. But if you are in this spiritual field, they just come. Everywhere, you will meet them. That's why I used to say, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Ah, that one very true. That's why you must get yourself ready. Then with the affinity, the conditioning and all those things, then this will manifest. Okay, you can continue. Oh, sorry, 10:30 already. So we stop. Yeah, 10:30. Okay, we stop here. You got any question? We stop at page 367. The next topic also quite good. Classification of karma. You go back and read up a bit. So that you all can participate in a more interesting manner. Because I remember during the Sunday class, back from Sutta, the final day, lesson 85, you all like totally never learn anything. How can that be? Because you are not serious. Not all, some who knows, but most of you all really blur, you know. Because what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to have an interest in that sutta. Then you're supposed to review it after I share and so on. Then read through it, listen to it. Otherwise you won't learn. Otherwise it's just like this book, after we finish, you still don't learn anything, I tell you. Because you have to actually, like what Mimi used to share with me, she will go back and read through, listen, then map it out, understand? Like write it down, make notes like that, so that you make sure you have the understanding. Then it's like a study, understand? Even though no exam. But it's for your own good, understand? You don't review it, don't reflect, contemplate the second turning, you can never learn. And you will not go in, I tell you. Because these are not easy topics, understand? Not? Then sometimes certain week you don't come. Then the short note given, so good. You don't go and read through, but it will benefit you a lot. Through these short notes, you learn a lot of things. During my time, all my teacher and guide don't have notes, I tell you. They don't even teach. They just talk to me. And that's how I learn. I just listen. And a lot of things that I share with you, they didn't teach me. I only receive certain things that I need to know. Then the moment I understand that, I understand the whole thing myself. That's why you need to have this spiritual faculty to help you. When the faith drives you to understanding, the virya will be there. And when the virya is there, you will cultivate sati and all those things. Then you will develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma, and all this sharing become beautiful. You have the Heart Sutta, you have all the cultivating of the Bodhisattva way, you have all the transcript. That's why whatever you want to understand, you should go back and read through it. Develop that. Because last time during my time, I just want some truth I can't find. I had to wait till my teacher arrived. And every time I listened, I was looking for truth. That's why not many people can teach the truth. Then what I receive is small amount of truth here and there from different teachers at different times. But because my nature from the past already have a lot of understanding, that's why whenever there is truth, it goes in. Truth goes in. If it's not the truth, it can never go in. I will never go and do all those type of meditation. Because I have a mind that understands that it's not gullible. Not just because people say, oh, this one what? This one arahant, this one very enlightened. Oh, this one, this method, this teacher. I'm not attracted to all this thing at all. What I want is truth. When I can't find truth, no matter how good you say that person is, got no meaning. Yeah, I listen, I cannot develop any understanding from it. Means there is no truth. But when there is truth, straight away this nature will know. There is so much joy. Then from that truth, I will understand a lot of other things. Just like science and mathematics. When I was in Form 4 onwards, when I learned, of course, earlier on was geography. Then when I learned the science, the maths and all those things, and especially later on the language, I understand things very fast after that. And I got deep interest in maths and science. Very funny. Then later on, I like language also, because I know language is very useful this life. So I start to develop interest in language and all those things. Because through language, you can learn a lot of things. You can read up a lot of things. Then you can use language to express things very beautifully. So all this is what you're supposed to do. You have the love and passion for this beautiful teaching. And this teaching is so useful. It not only let you develop the wisdom, the understanding to live life, it transforms you beautifully to have wonderful character and personality, wisdom and understanding, and you have great virtue. Take care of your karma, so that every life you come, you have all this combination of wisdom and virtue that can make you so beautiful. Then can give you the wonderful life that every living being is looking forward to. That's how you can get to live life to the fullest, experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then life becomes different, meaningful. So you are not like other living beings. Come deluded, die also deluded. That's why in Hokkien they say gong gong jia, gong gong tua, gong gong si, everything also gong. What for? Then might as well don't come. Otherwise you come here to suffer, miserable. Through delusion, ignorance, you develop negativity of karma and you suffer. Your coming nature will fall. All of your blessings this life come from your past. That's why have gratitude, appreciate what you have, and determine to use it to your maximum benefit, so that in future, all of your future life taken care of, and you become different. You become a walking Bodhisattva in the midst of life. They call it Si Jian Pu Sa. Ren Jian Pu Sa. Si Jian or Ren Jian? Ren Jian Pu Sa. Means Bodhisattva among human beings. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. My nature to rejoice. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness. Then we will share and transfer this merit to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva and all the worthy one. Then we end.